You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
The jump off starts here! The jump off starts right now! Come on now!
TalkTainmentRadio.com, your only on-demand radio. That's radio the way it should be heard. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with three voices. I'm Rita.
I'm Simeon.
And I'm Michael Stevens.
That's what I'm talking about. Radio the way it should be heard. Yeah, you heard right. My half voice is in the house tonight.
He's back.
And it's his B-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y. Happy birthday, Michael Stevens.
This sucker is turning how old today?
Nine.
This sucker is 9 years old today as of 4:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I wish you could see the smile on his face, and he doesn't know it, but he's bringing me extra, extra special joy right now, and I'm so excited that he's here because I needed him here tonight, and I appreciate you, Half Pint. How you doing?
Good.
Excellent, excellent. You know, today, this evening, in fact, I lost someone who is very near and dear to me, and that even seems inappropriately understated.
Right.
My youngest uncle, Mark Perryman, lost his life this evening to cancer. And I could have not done the show. The offer was made more than once. But I tell you all every week that this is therapy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, now more than ever, tonight's show is therapy to me. We happen to be talking in our journey series. We're moving back to our journey series with a friend who also has been fighting cancer for quite a long time. And this conversation was going to happen before the passing of my uncle. But right now, I seem to need it to happen tonight. I want this information. I want this conversation to happen so someone else can share in something other than the sorrow of what cancer seems to always bring. Our friend is Lauren Couch. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Rita.
And Lauren is going to talk to us about the formation of his organization, I Can Sir. Yeah, it's a mouthful just to say it, but I'm really excited for us to have this conversation and for my half voice to be here rocking the mic with us tonight. So before we get all seriously mushy.
I'm excited about there being two extra voices to try to cover up for the fact that my throat seems like it's made out of gravel. So if you wonder why I'm speaking like Red Fox tonight,
I don't know what's up with Red.
It's because I'm not well.
My uncle was a very funny guy, so he would appreciate this, as most of you will. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Why trying to burglarize the home of a pro axe thrower is a very bad idea.
You said pro axe thrower.
Pro axe thrower. Mm-hmm. Like that thing you cut wood with? Chop that wood. That's it. That's it. Generally speaking, breaking and entering isn't something one should ever do. That said, if you're dead set on burglarizing a house, you'd be well advised to make sure that it isn't currently owned and occupied by a professional axe thrower who goes to sleep with a tomahawk by her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Robin Irvin, a pro axe thrower who lives in Hemet, California, taught two men that lesson the hard way early Saturday morning when they sneaked in through her window while she was sleeping. She woke up when one of the men tried to take the watch off her wrist and proceeded to scream, which startled the men. She then grabbed the trusty bedside tomahawk and, wearing only a t-shirt and her underwear, chased both men out of her house. She says she could have easily paralyzed one of the men, but chose not to. Yep. She said it took everything she had not to throw her axe I hit what I aim for, she explained to NBC Los Angeles. I would have gotten him right in the spine or in the back of his head.
Oh my God.
Both men ran off while Irvin called the police. One suspect, 22-year-old Nicholas Ulloa, was found hiding in a bush. And while one man may have escaped, Irvin has a message for anyone else thinking of breaking in. If you're in my house, you ain't walking out.
Oh, man.
And go.
All right. First of all, the very first thing, well, I'll say the second thing that I thought about when I heard what you were saying, when I heard this story, it was her outfit. I got to believe that there was a song by the artist Trina from the 1990s that inspired said outfit, but that being neither said here nor there, I can't help but to think. Right. Yeah, this is all bad. The saying used to be growing up is if somebody were to break into your house, shoot them and then put a TV in their hand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on you found out that you're not really able to shoot people just to protect private property, at least not here in Ohio. I mean, who knows about Florida or Texas? Shouts out to Heather in Texas and Dallas. You know, now we know personal property. When you get to the point where you're trying to take a wristwatch off of someone's wrist
while they're sleeping,
that's a chemically enhanced motivation if ever there was one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they knocked her out. She was just asleep.
There was no
chloroform. Who's in that kind of a dead sleep where you can take a watch off of my wrist? You have to touch me.
That's chemically motivated.
Yeah.
They left reason and ration a long time ago. And, you know, what now in their defense, and I'm sure you didn't think that I was going to start a sentence
in
their defense.
No.
In their defense, when you're calculating risk, you know, what are the how many professional axe throwers are there in the world?
Really?
Much less in America.
All right. In their defense. Yeah.
You see
how
what
many
I'm saying?
Professional axe throwers are
the
there?
Chances?
Just goes to show you never know.
Right.
You never know.
Right. Right. Because there are snake charmers. There are ninjas. Like, and I mean literally ninjas.
You might
in
run
the world.
Across more ninjas than professional axe throwers.
I got to believe that in the history of the world, there have been more ninjas than professional axe throwers.
I don't know. Daniel Boone, you know, and that's a backward thing, throwing axes. So we don't know where she originated from.
Right.
First of all, who knew there was a professional and axe throwing?
Right. I mean, I got to think that that's her part-time whatever, because she doesn't support herself doing that. She couldn't buy a wristwatch based on what she makes as a professional axe thrower. I'm certain of that. But again, that's
maybe
this
she's
is
a
just
lawyer.
All there.
She
wow. Could, but
she might
good one
have the wherewithal. I mean, I don't know if the funniest thing about this is that there is such a thing as a professional axe thrower, much less that they broke into her house.
They broke into her house and she restrained herself from actually releasing the axe and hitting somebody in the base of their neck.
She said spine or neck.
She was getting ready to sever your spinal cord. That just goes to show you never, ever know who you're dealing with. So please don't do foolish things. You do wrong, stuff happens.
Yeah. You have something on your mind?
She might be a half Paul Bunyan.
She might be a half Paul Bunyan.
She just might be. She just might be. If she's got a, what is it, a dog named Blue?
Right. Like, right, right. Something like, I mean, I got to think. This is just bad all the way. Now, I'll tell you what she did do unintentionally, I'm sure, was she just became an advocate for women in government, in as much as the argument has always been, do you want a woman who has her finger on the button or has access to the button? She restrained herself with
That's
the skill set
saying.
To be able to throw an axe.
See, now she practiced restraint because she knew that it would be not worth it
and
to take out
have.
Those chemically induced two men.
She could have done it. She could have done it,
and
if she chose
well
not to.
Well within her rights.
Now, is an axe the same as a nuclear weapon? Not the same, but I mean, but it goes a long way. I gotta believe. Mom would have done that. I mean, I don't know if she's listening right now, but he's putting her on blast
like
internationally. Ooh. Yeah, she has a little bit of a background and some history to her.
Right,
he's talking
right.
about my smoking hot wife, y'all.
I'm just saying, an axe to the base of your skull just might feel like napalm.
Right.
And that's just a little something
we've been kicking around.
and a word from our Talktainment family. This is Libby. Libby is all about empowering women through health, wellness, and a positive mindset. This is Libby deals with the social, cultural, politics, and economics in the healthcare and wellness industry. Come and get Libby rated with an expert in the field of health and wellness, Miss Libby Rand, broadcasts Mondays on TalktainmentRadio.com.
Libby rated. I see what you did there.
You know what? I didn't even do it. Someone else was special and put that there. I just said it extra special.
I feel
you like
that,
that
though. You gotta like Libby. If you know Libby, you'd love Libby.
Love Libby. She's an awesome big sister. Love her show. You learn lots of things.
Right.
So in this Journey series, and it's been a minute since we've been on the Journey series because we've been through health and wellness.
Right.
We've talked about a number of things. But I think it's important to always recognize those people who have a journey and where it's brought them to
right.
a special place in their life. And we've done this a number of times. It's been a while since we hit the Journey series.
Indeed.
But tonight we have joining us Mr. Lauren Couch.
Hey, Rita, I just wanted to chime in. You said something when you were introducing me earlier. You said that I've been fighting cancer.
Yes.
And I would like to add that I started out that way.
Okay.
And I have evolved into not fighting cancer.
All right.
There's greater strength in allowing. Kind of the Martin Luther King approach to the civil rights. You know, we can fight hatred with love. The things I was told years ago when I was going through an AA program,
mm-hmm.
that what you resist will persist. And that those words just have stuck in my head forever, and I kept finding times in my life when I could use it. So I just want to throw that out there that I am not fighting, I am not surviving, I am thriving.
And you are. You practicing civil disobedience with the cancer?
Of course. And don't, hey, I might have an axe for it.
All right. You know? All right. Make that axe work. Make it work. Now, tell us about your first cancer diagnosis.
First.
Yeah. I was 28 years old in the prime of my life. I took my daughter, who was 1 year old at the time, to have a checkup and decided I needed to have a physical. They found a lump in my neck and told me that I had 30 days to live in UCLA Medical Center.
Wait a minute. This wasn't even your doctor's appointment.
No. Actually, taking my daughter prompted me to have a physical, and I hadn't had one in years. So you know how men don't take care of themselves.
Slackers, you mean?
Well, yeah. You know, we don't take care of ourselves. You know,
right.
You
yeah,
know
no,
we're too
true.
Busy, you know, providing for families
or
hanging with the boys.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah. And so I decided to.
All legitimate reasons to ignore lumpy necks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know I had a lump in my neck.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
So you couldn't feel it? You weren't having any symptoms of anything?
No. No. Wow. And you know how they do the doctors do the exam where they check
right.
you for your lymph nodes being swollen and he goes, hey, you got a problem here.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Man, I hope you're taking note because,
right.
I mean, my gosh,
he said he wasn't having problems swallowing. He
right.
wasn't, you know, coughing.
No.
He just said, no, I'm out of
kind of like I am today, but rest assured, my annual physical is actually scheduled for Monday.
All right. Well,
then I'm not gonna fuss
to go.
At you when we leave the studio tonight or in a commercial break.
Do that. And when you reach 40 or 50 or whatever it is, when the men have to have the other exam. Yeah,
that's 40.
Go.
I'm a year away from the first
Just
thing.
go and have it.
So they told you 30 days. What's your reaction to, at 28 years old, holding your baby girl, and a doctor says, you got 30 days, man?
I mean, it was surreal. It was like being in a dream. Who could imagine how you're going to react when you hear that? Somebody tells you that your life has changed, as you know it, it's not really as it is. Yeah, so I was floored. I was afraid. And then I can't say I was brave. I was numb.
Gotcha.
I looked at my daughter, and I thought, wow. So they said, you got to have this surgery. So, okay, dying wasn't an option. I'm going to have the surgery. Then the doctors say, well, you know, there is 100% chance you'll talk through a voice box. Okay. Well, that ain't so bad. They Roger said 100.
Wow. Like, yes. You didn't get chances on anything else.
No. It was going to be voice box because of the tumor was, you know, they had... were able to determine that it wrapped around my vocal cords. They knew they were
not even the cool kind, like Roger Troutman.
Yeah, no. Let's see. I just figured he and I could hang out with the voice
right.
box.
You know? Right.
You get the one like the guy on South Park who, you know, fought in Da Nang.
Right. Or the woman in the truth.com video.
Yeah.
Is that what that is? Or the one where she smoked?
.org. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Lauren,
yeah,
what specifically like was your diagnosis? You said you had a tumor, but they said it was cancer.
Yeah, it was. It was a malignant tumor that was growing in on an artery. The type of cancer that I have is paraganglioma, which is very, very rare. They don't even have test subjects. They don't have material or biological material to even study the disease.
It would have taken me 30 days to learn how to pronounce that.
Seriously. I never remember it. That's why I always ask. And so they're writing a book on you, literally.
I have had... doctors come up to me at the Cleveland Clinic and want to shake my hand. And I'd say, sure, I guess, you know, sure, you can shake my hand. And they would just, in glee, smiling, look at me and say, you're the very first paraganglioma I've ever met.
Like it's a compliment.
Like,
and then I'm immediately put
that?
Off, you know.
Right.
Wow, what was
right.
it? Really?
Yeah.
That was it? Yeah.
Okay.
Should have been like, can you catch up if I would have spit on you?
Right.
Yeah, well.
You want to
yeah.
get it too? Thanks. So you are told that there's a 100% chance that you're going to talk with one of those super cool voice boxes.
A box, right.
And what were the other possible complications of the surgery?
And the other one that I pondered